Well, good morning, church family. Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. I want to say happy Mother's Day. And to kick off our Mother's Day Sunday, we're going to play a little game. You know me, I love games. So first, kids, go over to your mom, give her a huge hug, and tell her happy Mother's Day. Let's go real quick. Come on, come on, come on. We have another game to play. Do it quickly. Big hug. Give her a kiss. All right, second, husbands, it's your turn now. Now, if you are sitting like on another couch or on another sofa, if you're not next to your wife, first of all, shame on you. Now's the opportunity for you to get over there and sit next to her. And I'm going to ask you to hold her hand. If you want, you can lock those lips. Just keep it PG. And we're going to get started. So grab your Bible and turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. If this is your first time here, we are in a sermon series from the book of Colossians. We have called it Love, Live, Lead. In the letter, Paul outlines to the church at Colossae how to showcase Christ's supremacy. How to showcase Christ's supremacy in a culture that is seeking to suffocate his name. And the way we do that is by loving Christ, living for Christ, and leading like Christ. And that threefold formula, it's really the threefold formula that we must live by if we want Christ to reign preeminently. Now, before we get into the passage, let me give you a brief background. In the first century, marriage was not highly viewed upon. In fact, there was a strong deviation from what God had intended for his holy matrimony. Husband and wives, there was no relationship. In fact, they were barely even roommates. For example, a first century home in that culture was often one level. The husband would have a rooftop all decked out. It would kind of serve as his man den. If a person was rich, they would have a two-story home. The upstairs would be a suite just for the husband. And really what this demonstrated is this belief that the husband is over the wife. And women and children are always subservient to the man of the family. Nobody was allowed to enter his domain. He was domineering, a husband was overbearing, and he was an authoritarian. To put it simply, women in the first century were really viewed as secondary. They were secondary citizens of that society. However, you and I both know that the gospel changes everything. It changes everything. And contrary to popular belief, Christianity and the scriptures that we hold to elevate the position of women. And these Christian women who are members of the church at Colossae, they have experienced this new freedom that they found in Christ. And this new freedom did what I like to call the pendulum swing. The pendulum swing. We see this all the time in churches. People discover grace, you know? And maybe they've come out of legalism and they discover grace and all of a sudden they're just going way overboard. And to make matters worse, these false teachers who were already creating this doctrinal division, they were no doubt encouraging family dysfunction. And as you and I both know, a strong church is always made up of strong families. If you weaken the family, you weaken the church. And if you weaken the church, kingdom expansion ceases. So to close out his letter to the Colossian Christians, Paul challenges the church. He says, look, lead like Christ. And what I find super interesting is that as Paul begins this whole new section on leading like Christ, he first addresses women. He talks right to the wives. Why? Why would he talk to the wives? Well, although the husband is the head of the home, I firmly believe that oftentimes it's the wife who sets the spiritual temperature of the home. And so the big idea for this morning, wives, women, many of you are, if you're not yet married, you will one day be married. Take notes. The big idea, lead like Christ by submitting like Christ. Lead like Christ by submitting like Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, one verse. Wives, submit your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Now, before we get into the meat of the passage, let me first explain what submission isn't, because there's a lot of confusion regarding the word submission, and I want clarity. I want every wife to know what submission means, but I think to really understand what it means, we have to first understand what it doesn't mean. Because if you, depending on your background, you might have an incorrect view of what God expects of you. So first, submission does not mean inferiority. Submission does not mean that women are inferior and men are superior. Both men and women are made in the image of God. Both men and women are co-heirs with Christ. Both men and women share the Holy Spirit. Both men and women share the gifts of the Spirit. Women are not inferior. Second, submission does not mean slavery. It doesn't mean slavery. The wife is free to become all that God intended her to become. I love Proverbs chapter 31, and here's why. It's not to compare my wife to the Proverbs 31 woman. What Proverbs 31 tells me is the potential and the abilities in the ways that women can thrive, even in our culture today. In Proverbs 31, you see a woman who is an entrepreneur, you see a woman who is a homemaker, you see a woman who's a clothes designer. And I could probably go on and on. Those are just a few things that jumped out to me as I was thinking about the Proverbs 31 woman. But submission does not mean slavery. Women, you should feel free to use the gifts that God has given to you. Submission doesn't mean passivity. It doesn't mean I have no responsibility in the home. It doesn't mean that the wife is this passive partner. You know, I encourage each woman in our church, you know, make full use of your talents and your abilities. Use those gifts for God's glory. Expend yourself for the kingdom of God. Well, submission also doesn't mean absolute or maybe it's called blind loyalty. It doesn't mean that the husband is infallible and that the wife should never push back in the right way. Submission doesn't mean I agree. It certainly doesn't mean I agree. You can have differing opinions, and you should have opinions in your mind that you are using in a winsome way to win your husband to your side. And husbands, as much as I'm talking to the wives, I'm kind of talking at you in an indirect way, because you need to have this understanding of submission as well. Submission doesn't mean I agree. Wives should seek to influence their husbands. If maybe you and your husband are in a business partnership, husbands, I want to encourage you to listen to your wife when she is speaking into that business. She might be protecting you from poor decisions. I know I say this about my wife all the time. She's kind of like E.F. Hutton. When she speaks, I listen. My wife, she doesn't speak often, but when she speaks, I listen. Even today, we had one of those conversations. Even today, we are trying to make a decision about whether or not we are going to paint our home or are we going to consider siding our home. And that's a pretty big deal. That's a pretty major decision, and I sought my wife's input. And I'm listening to your input, to her input. And in fact, in some ways, she even swayed me to the other side of what I was even thinking. Submission doesn't mean I agree. Submission doesn't mean living quietly. Doesn't mean that she can't express her thoughts, she can't express her feelings. A helpful wife is always going to speak into the decisions. Submission doesn't mean incompetency. It doesn't mean that a wife is less valuable or she's less intelligent or competent. If your wife is better with the numbers and better with the budget, empower her to run the budget. Submission doesn't mean incompetency. The beauty of marriage is that we complement each other. One of the things that I love about my wife studied health nutrition in college, and she really has a mind for medicine. She loves medicine. She loves to read up and listen on homeopathic medicine, and of course, I give her a hard time. I often call her a witch doctor, but I really appreciate how much she studies medicine, and it's interesting that when family members are sick, they never come to me. They never come to me. They always go to her first. Why? Because she's competent. Submission doesn't mean hierarchy. You know, really, the husband-wife relationship, it's a lot like the Trinity. Think about the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are equally God. And really, what the purpose of the Trinity, it's for the purpose of order and structure. It's for division of labor and responsibility. And although the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are equal, the Son is subservient to the Father, right? There's order, there's structure. There's a division of labor and responsibility. And that's exactly what we see in the family. I hope you remember this. Husbands and wives, they are equal but different. They are equal, but different. They are equal, but they are different in function. What better lesson than to learn from the Trinity? Submission doesn't mean everybody. A wife submits only to her husband. Submission doesn't speak outside the arena of the home. So a woman can be your boss, and men, you need to respect your female boss. Submission doesn't mean immorality. You know, we are always to seek to be holy. And ladies, if your spouse is ever asking you to do something that is contrary to God's word and to live an immoral life, this is when you should never submit. Submission doesn't mean immorality. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. It says, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. What does then Christ-like submission mean? What is it? What is Christ-like submission? Well, first, Christ-like submission is a daily lifestyle. It's a daily lifestyle. Although Paul is addressing women, this sermon is for every person. Submission is to be a daily lifestyle for every Christian. You and I, we know, we have the responsibility to submit daily. Think about the various times that submission is spoken of in the scriptures. We are told in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. It's on the screen. I'm not going to read all these verses, but Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 makes it very clear that every one of us is to submit to governmental authority. Government has been ordained by God, and even in the midst of this corona crisis, we are to submit to our government, whether we agree or disagree. We are also to submit to our church leaders. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, talks about how we are to obey leaders and submit to them. Even when we aren't in agreement with them, we are to submit. And what that really looks like, it means supporting and following and trusting and yielding. And if you have a difference of opinion, you go to them and you make an appeal, just as a wife would to her husband who she doesn't agree with. But each one of us, we have authority to submit to. We have church leaders to submit to. We're all supposed to submit to God and to his word. James chapter 4, verse 7. It's on the screen. It says, submit yourselves, therefore, to who? To God. We must submit to God. We must place ourselves under God and under his word and his will and each of his commands on a daily basis. This sermon's important for all of us. Why? Because we're also supposed to submit to our employers, and I already made reference to that. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Paul talks about the testimony of a Christian in the workplace is one of submission. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us that not only are we supposed to submit to church leaders, that we're supposed to submit to one another. People that we might be leading in our area of ministry. People who may be in our small group who don't know as much as we do about the Bible, and we've been saved a lot longer. We are to submit to one another. another. What does that mean? We are to relinquish our rights to other people on a daily basis. And what I love is Christ modeled a daily lifestyle of submission for his children. Jesus Christ, when he walked this earth, he continually placed himself under authority. That's really the definition of submission. It's this idea of placing oneself under authority. And we see that manifested in the life of Christ, starting when he was a child. Remember when in Luke chapter 2, when he and his family were in Jerusalem for Passover? He was lost. In fact, he really wasn't lost. He was going about his father's business, he told his parents. He was in the temple teaching. His parents realized that he was lost. They come back, and of course, they're worried sick. And he tells his mom, well, you knew I was going to be about my father's business. But the text goes on to say in Luke chapter 2, verse 51, that he was submissive to his mother, even though he knew who he was, that he was God's son and the God-man. He had a position of leadership. He still placed himself under his parents. He placed himself under his father's work for his life. Jesus Christ even placed himself under his enemies, like the Roman soldiers and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He placed himself under the Father's will at the cross. Think about the night before the crucifixion. You know the line. Father, not my will, but yours be done. It's a picture of submission. And really, this leads to our second point about what Christ-like submission is. It's a willing choice. It's a willing choice. That word submit, the Greek word means to place under. It's the idea of relinquishing one's rights. You're arranging yourself under another person. Now, not to get geeky, but it's really important to note that this Greek word, it's in the middle voice. In ancient Greek, it had a set of voice forms that we don't have in our English language. We call these the middle voice. And when the Greek middle voice verb form, when it's used, the subject of the verb is seen as acting upon itself for its own benefit. So by using this Greek middle voice, Paul is saying that submission is to be a willing choice. Submission is a voluntary response by the wife. Meaning, the husband is never told to command submission. You never see anywhere in Scripture where it says, husbands, command your wife to submit. And furthermore, husbands should never force submission upon his wife. Shame on you, husbands, if you're forcing submission on your wife. If you're having to use the verse that we're studying today on a regular basis, she's probably not the problem. You probably are. However, wives, the responsibility is on you. And you are to voluntarily submit yourself, because that is part of your God-given role. I love what John Piper writes. He says, biblical submission for the wife is the divine calling to honor and affirm her husband's leadership and help carry it through according to her gifts. Isn't that great? Biblical submission for the wife is the divine calling to honor and affirm her husband's leadership and help carry it through according to her gifts. Now, of course, this verse that we're looking at this morning, along with Ephesians 5:22 and 1 Peter 3:6 and Titus 2:5 and 1 Corinthians 11:3, it's one of the most controversial and widely challenged verses today. Christians who hold to this position of submission of the wife in the home are often accused of either being chauvinistic or patriarchal. However, we must understand that submission for women, get this, it all started at creation. Submission started at creation. Submission is not the result of Adam's fall in the garden. Eve in the garden, she was created. You remember why she was created? She was created to be a what? Say it with me. She was created to be a helper. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. It says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It's not good that man should be alone.'" Thank you, Jesus. "It's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Now, let's talk about that for a second. Of course, the word helper does not by itself imply submission. Helping can be done by someone who has greater authority. Helping can be done by someone who has equal authority. Helping can be done by someone who has lesser authority than the one who is being helped. But the person who is helping, what is he doing? He is putting himself in a subordinate role to the person who has the responsibility of the activity. So here's an example. COVID-19. Homeschool. How many of you are jacked up that like we just have a few weeks left of homeschool? Now those of you who are homeschooling, you're like, oh, you're probably already done by now anyway. But those of us who like this got thrust upon us with this COVID-19 thing, we're homeschoolers now. We're trying to figure it out. But when I was helping my son Creed this week with his math, what was going on there is even though I am over Creed, what was I doing? I was helping Creed. And by helping him, I was taking a lesser role because he's the person who's responsibility for the math sheet, not me. So back in the garden, I share that because back in the garden, before the fall, God made Eve to be Adam's helper. To be Adam's helper. It says, "I will make for him." That's how the Hebrew reads. "I will make for him a helper fit for him." And Eve's role and what God had in mind when he created her was that she would place herself under Adam as his helper. Now, ladies, don't get sidetracked. Remember what we said earlier, you are not inferior. You too, you're created in God's image. You're equal but different. And this it's exactly how Jesus Christ interacted with the Father. He willingly placed himself under the Father. And ladies, Christ-like submission, I hope you understand, Christ-like submission isn't an "I have to." Jesus didn't walk this earth with this attitude of, "Got to submit to my Father. Here we go again. I'm in the wilderness, being tempted. Got to submit to the Father. Here I am again. These same knucklehead disciples. Got to submit to my Father. Got to do his thing." No. He had a desire to submit to the Father. So what's Christ-like submission? It's a daily lifestyle. It's a willing choice. Third, it's a heart condition. Christ-like submission is a heart condition. Ladies, don't miss this. And I guess I should say this. Since all of us are required to live a life of submission, we should all take note of what Paul writes next. Look at verse 18. It says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord." Every Bible should have that phrase underlined. As is fitting in the Lord. Maybe you've heard that phrase, "You're not the right fit." All of us probably at some point in our life, we've probably heard that phrase. "Hey man, you're not the right fit." Maybe it was after a job interview. Maybe it was during a dating relationship. Maybe it was while you're a part of a team, or maybe you're a part of a production. And essentially, when they said you're not the right fit, they were saying you don't look the part, you don't have our values, you don't have our qualities. Really, you're not the right fit. It's just a nice way of saying you don't have what we're looking for. I have standards. Sorry, bro. You don't meet them. Now, write this down. Submission is the heart condition that God demands of every Christian. Submission is the heart condition that God demands of every Christian. He wants to see in you, he wants to see in me the same thing that he saw in his son. He wants to see us humbling ourselves, even though we're equal. He wants to see us laying down our rights. He wants to see us serving others. He wants to see us doing the will of another. We're all required to do this. And of course, ladies, you're supposed to do this with your husband in the home. And unfortunately, the Christian ladies in Colossae, they were struggling with this thing in submission. You see, the gospel, as I said before, the gospel had radically changed their position. They had experienced grace. They kind of did the pendulum swing. They were kind of like, nah, no more. We can do whatever we want. And they're unable to handle their newfound freedom. And Paul, he's letting these church ladies, who, by the way, they had done a lot for the Lord. This church was on fire. But he's letting these church ladies know that they're not playing the part that God expects. They don't have the fit. They don't have the right values. And he's challenging them to live a life that's modeled after their Savior. He's challenging them to live a life, the phrase says, that's fitting to the Lord. Now, if you're like me, at this point in the sermon, especially for the ladies, but for all of us, because this message is for all of us, if you're like me, you're kind of feeling a little defeated. Right now, you're thinking about your inability to submit to the stupid government regulations that you're tired of. You're thinking of your inability to maybe submit to your difficult spouse, or maybe you're having a hard time submitting to God's will for your life, or maybe you're having a hard time submitting to your pastor who has a bad attitude about the government regulations. Sorry, I probably shouldn't have said that. But the good news is that Jesus did what you and I can't do. He did it perfectly. That's what the gospel is all about. Jesus came to earth. He submitted to the Father, lived a perfect life, and he went to the cross. He lived the life that you and I couldn't live. And it qualified him to be our Savior. And any person who puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for eternal life, and if they cry out to him as Lord and Savior, they will become co-heirs with Jesus Christ that every child of God, both man and woman, possess. And really, this leads to our final point on Christ-like submission. Christ-like submission is a gospel witness. It's a gospel witness. I love 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. It's one of the key passages that talks about wives living in submission. It's on the screen. It says, likewise, wives, be subject. Be subject to your own husbands so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. You know, ladies, the reason you should live a life of submission, and gentlemen, the reason why you too should live a life of submission, is because submission brings others to the point of salvation. That's what that verse says. And for the wives who are married to maybe a spouse who doesn't yet know Jesus, I want to encourage you, own this verse right here. This should be the verse that you have memorized. This should probably be the verse that you meditate upon the most. Because when you live out this role of submission, we can have confidence that your testimony will be a witness. And that spouse that you're praying for might come to know the Lord. I want to close with an encouraging story. Came across it several years ago. I want to read it to you. Lady writes these words. She says, when I gave my life to the Lord, it was a huge change. This was the greatest thing that ever happened to me, but I knew I could not force my experience on my husband, Howard. I couldn't coerce him or make him change. This was so different from my sales background of taking control and manipulating and doing things in my own time and in my own way. I had to retrain myself and let the Lord work on Howard's heart. I had to be very patient, and I knew change started with me. I saw God's plan for us as wives. We are to be our husband's helpers. So I began to let Howard lead. I had to acquiesce and do things differently. I learned to have faith in God, and as I submitted to the Lord, submitting to my husband became so much easier. I began to say things like, Howard, whatever you decide, or you can make that decision. I stopped overreacting when we had challenges or putting pressure on him to come up with the answers. I would just tell him that I would be praying about it, and I was fine with whatever happened. While we used to share domestic responsibilities, I now took charge of the home. I tried to make it a warm haven for Howard when he came home. Instead of a list of chores waiting for him, he didn't have anything to do. I found a lot of joy in taking care of the house and not burdening him with additional responsibilities. There used to be bitterness and tension when Howard would go out fishing, golfing, or skiing, but now I began to freely release him. I knew I couldn't just grit my teeth and say, have a good time, and see this, he went out the door. I really had to have a joy in my heart when he was having a good time. And the more I released him to do the things he wanted to do, the more joy I had. I also began loving on my husband. I would write him notes and leave them on the bathroom mirror or on the car windshield. I went overboard on loving him. My non-Christian friends were like, what is up with you, Carol, warming up his car? But I knew that I could turn to God whenever bitterness crept in. I also knew that I could call my friend Diane. Carol, she would remind me, trust in the Lord. Remember, be joyful. Diane would always refer me to Scripture. The women in my small group were always praying for me and setting an example for me to follow. And every night I would pray. I wanted my husband to know the Lord. Yes, there was anxiety. I was anxious for the Lord to intervene, but I was learning to trust him. I prayed and I prayed, and God heard. Howard didn't say anything, but he started changing. He saw a peace in me, and he became more relaxed. And because I was releasing him, he became more apt to stay home or come home early from playing golf. And today, Howard loves and trusts in God. And he's very involved in the church. He's on the takedown crew, the sound crew, and leads worship for our small group. He's in a Bible study with one of the pastors. At home, the change has also been dramatic. Howard has stepped up to the plate. He's the leader of our household. He makes decisions based on what is best for our family. He's not afraid to do it. We truly serve a faithful God, and I am convinced that he hears our prayers. He will answer in his time. Well, ladies, for those of you who are married to a spouse that might not know Jesus, I hope that's an encouragement to you. Be faithful to your role and cry out to the Lord and allow him to work. The big idea, lead like Christ by submitting like Christ. Church, listen, this is for all of us. Submission isn't just an evidence of salvation. It is an evidence of salvation, but it's not just an evidence of salvation. Submission brings people to salvation. My prayer, not just for the wives of the families that are represented here at Vertical Church, but my prayer for every single person who calls Vertical Church their home, is that we'll just live a life of submission. That we'll live a life, first and foremost, we'll live a life of submission to our Lord. That he will rule and reign preeminently in our lives. And that will carry over into the various places that God's word calls us to live a life of submission, whether it be government or our spouse or our boss. And when we start living a life of submission, I am convinced that it will bring people to salvation. People won't know what to do with that. Wives, because we know this can be a struggle, in order to get some practical helps for you today, I have asked the most submissive wife that I have ever been married to come up here for a time of Q&A. So come on up, Miriam. All right, church family, let's give it up for Miriam McCarthy. You know this is way outside her comfort zone, yes. But we're hoping that this might be an encouragement to you. So Miriam, some of the people that might be listening today, some of the wives, it's possible that they've never heard teaching on submission in the way that we presented it today, depending, maybe it was ultra-liberal background, where they came from, and they just never were in an environment where wives were taught to place themselves under their husbands, or maybe it was like this crazy legalistic conservative background where like the man is the king of the castle, and I think we're all familiar with both extremes. But let's talk a little bit about submission. And this is probably for the men in the room as much as it is for the women in the room. But when do you find it as a wife? When is it most, I guess I'll frame it this way. When is it easiest to submit?
Well, I find it easiest to submit when we're making a decision together and we both agree, right? We're making an easy decision and we just both agree on the direction
same
we're going to take.
Same conclusion. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, really, that's a great answer because, husbands, if you're finding that your wife isn't submitting, it could be because you're not bringing her into the decision so that she can arrive at the same conclusion. It could be that you're just telling her, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do this. We're going to spend our money this way, and we're going to send our kids to this school. And so I think that's really important. It's easiest to submit when you're together and you're working on things together, and then you arrive at that same conclusion. But that's not always the case, mm-hmm. I don't think. So when is it most difficult to submit?
I find it most difficult to submit to when
this is hypothetical.
When we're making a decision and we both come up with different conclusions, we both have different opinions about what we should do.
We're just not on the same page mm-hmm. about something that's pretty important. So in those moments when you find like, hey, we're kind of at an impasse, mm-hmm. What have you learned as far as how do you get over that hurdle for yourself? And then how do you bring me along?
Well, I've learned over 19 years of marriage that communication is really, really important. And at the beginning of the marriage, I think I did a lot of crying and not a lot of talking and communicating. Not a lot of crying, but I wasn't good at communicating. And so I've learned to talk about those decisions yeah. that we're going to be making.
Yeah, so I mean, I think what was life-changing for both you and I in our marriage, because like months 1 through 5 were like marital bliss and, you know, as expected. And then probably starting around month 6 or month 7 to about month 13, it was like, man, we are, you know, it wasn't like she realized like her knight in shining armor had a little bit of rust. And I didn't think she was this great either. And really, it boiled down to communication. And because if there's a lack of communication, it's going to be really difficult for submission. Mm-hmm. And I think those 4 rules of communication that we became familiar with, you know them, right?
Yep. Yeah, be honest. Same.
Be honest, yeah.
Keep current. Attack the problem, not the person. And act, don't react.
Yeah, those 4 rules, they really helped us in just really being able to live equally but different. So how do you think your experience, knowing that your husband wasn't all that he was cracked up to be, how do you think that can be an encouragement to other ladies?
Well, in learning to communicate, I also learned just how important it was after you've communicated, after I communicated, was just to then take that to the Lord and leave that decision there with him. And I think that's just so important that like we can talk about things, but then it's my job to joyfully submit to what my husband's final decision's gonna be. And so I can trust the Lord, you know, I can trust yeah. him to take care of that. And
yeah, and one of the things I didn't say in the sermon that's super, super important, and I had to edit somewhere, but we are equal, but we're different. And if you look at scripture, there's a singular head, but there's a plurality of leadership. And so even example, even for the Trinity, The Father is the head, but there's a plurality within the Trinity. If you look at even in the family, the husband is the head, singular head, but there's a plurality of leadership. And one of the things I failed to communicate is the husband isn't the only leader of the family. We're on the same team. And really what Scripture teaches, it carries out in look at the army. You have the 4-star general and everything trickles down. But there are multiple leaders. If you look at a sports team, you have the head coach, and then you have the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator, and they're all leading together. If you look at the church, right, there's a lead pastor, and then there's pastors and elders, right, and then there's small group leaders, and there's department heads. And I think it's really important to remember that women play a vital role in this whole thing of leadership. And when there's an impasse, like you hit it gold, it was gold. Prayer is powerful. And that, even that story that we ended on, it's such an awesome story, and I know you've heard it before, but prayer wins the day. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how hearts can change if we just get on our knees. So what counsel do you give to a woman whose husband is failing in his role? Because I mean, this is going to be a hard question for you, a husband that's failing in his role. Like someone who's either they're not leading the family spiritually, or they're just not being loving, or they're not discipling the children. And of course, that makes it hard to submit. When the husband isn't doing his job, that's really hard. So what counsel do you give to a woman whose husband is failing in his role?
Again, I would say the first thing you need to do is just take that to the Lord in a matter of prayer and be praying about that, praying for your own attitude, asking the Lord for grace to just be kind and be loving and submit to your husband, even if he doesn't feel very loving and he's not maybe treating you very well. The Lord can give you the grace that you need to just be able to live like Christ,
yeah,
on a daily basis.
So, and really too, and I know you do this, but in that story that lady was talking about, her friend Carol, I think it was her friend Carol, and you have a friend, right? So talk about like what are the borders, like how much do you tell people, who do you tell? Because I think that's really important, because a violation of trust can really hurt a marriage, but at the same time we want to live in community, mm-hmm, and we want to have relationships to help us in our spiritual walk. So can you talk a little bit about that piece of the puzzle right there? Who do you just talk to the Lord?
No, it's wise to get counsel from a friend that you can trust and that you know that is walking with the Lord. And
can we talk about that for a second? That's really key, because a lot of people will go talk to, people just like to talk. Right. But you said talk to people who are walking with the Lord,
that are going to give you wise counsel from Scripture instead of,
yeah, what you want to hear. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's gold right there, ladies. I hope you're taking notes on that one, because it's great to talk to people, but you want to have friends who love Jesus, mm-hmm, and who love God's word and who want to see you thrive in your walk and in your calling. And I think
they're
sometimes
gonna tell you the truth, right?
Yeah, in love, right? Mm-hmm. Truth and love. That's so needed. So what would you say is the key for a woman to, like, how do you go about, like, hey, man, submission, it's a high calling. I've got to place myself under this jack wagon every day of my life. So what's the key to living a life of Christ-like submission?
Our walk with the Lord is the key, our daily walk with the Lord, being in his word, being in prayer, letting the Holy Spirit just lead you and guide you, confessing your sin and just keeping short accounts. Our walk with Christ is if we're walking with the Lord the way we need to be, then we're naturally going to want to submit to our husbands in the way that would please Christ.
That's good. Well, hey, can you close us in prayer, and specifically just pray for the wives that are represented in Vertical Church, mm-hmm. and this whole idea of leading like Christ by submitting like Christ. Just commit that to the Lord.
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for your word, and I'm so thankful that you've given this instruction to wives as to how we submit to our husbands. And Lord, I just ask, first of all, that you would help me to do this well. I pray for my own heart that you would help me to just be walking with you, walking in the Spirit, so that I can in turn submit joyfully as you've asked me to. And I pray for the wives of Vertical Church that you would also just give them the grace and the desire to have a right relationship with you, and also have a right relationship with their husbands. And thank you that you give us grace and strength to do what you ask us to. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Vertical Church, you are loved and you are sent.